Welcome back, everybody, to the X1 Bros. This is your positive gaming and Xbox community. Jetlag's a bitch. Like, I'm totally faking that enthusiasm in my voice because I'm dead.
No, I know. You walked in and you looked like death himself.
I got a Dr. Pepper. I had just woken up.
I was like, oh, gosh. Both of you look so exhausted.
So I was watching Jordan play Final Fantasy. So I was up at 4 a.m. this morning. And then
because
I
of jet lag.
And then I took a nap at like noon.
Because of jet lag.
Yeah, for like an hour. For everyone that doesn't know, we were in Scotland. And we just got back last night. Then I fell asleep at... I was watching Jordan play Final Fantasy.
16.
Which, by the way, beautiful. Beautiful game. Beautiful. And then I fell asleep at like 5 or 6. And I was like, I'll just go take a nap for like 20 minutes. I woke up like 10 minutes ago. And I could have... I probably could have slept through the night, I bet. Probably. It's terrible.
Oh, man. So are you like... Were you like used to the time over there then? You were there long enough, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Kind of get used to it.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So, because what is the time there right now? So we're
it's
recording
like 9 hours
this.
Ahead.
Recording this at 9 p.m. on Saturday, June 24th. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And it's so 8 hours, 7 hours ahead of that.
It's like 5 a.m. there or something right
1,
now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It just throws you.
I know. What's crazy is when I called you a couple times and
yeah,
I was you were in the future.
Yes,
I was the night before and you were the day of.
Yeah,
it blew my mind.
It is mind blowing from the future. With that, I would like to shout out Super Shocker who just gifted 5 X1 Bros memberships. Thank you. Huge shout out to Super Shocker. Everybody in chat, let's drop some BFF emotes. For Super Shocker. For everybody that doesn't know, if you would like to support us, you can do so over on YouTube, youtube.com/X1Bros, and then just hit the membership button. I believe actually it says join. Hit the join button and you get a loyalty badge. We're actually going to start doing members only after show parties. Mm-hmm. We did those for a while and went away just for time. But now YouTube has a feature where you can make them members only. So we will be doing those as members only probably starting next week. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Yo.
You got to stream last week.
Yeah.
I actually woke up and caught it. And I didn't.
Wait, you were watching it?
I watched it again, yes.
Wait, did you watch it live or like the
No, afterwards. When I caught it, it was like streamed 30 minutes ago.
Oh,
so I just
gotcha.
Had missed it.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a really fun game. Is it called It Takes Two? I think it's what it's called.
It Takes Two.
Yeah, it's a really, really good game. Yeah, we did that in place of the podcast, and I forgot to post anything on it, so we literally didn't announce it. We just went live late last time. It was really fun. It was like a date night with my wife. So
it was. I watched probably an hour's worth. It was entertaining. Well done.
It was.
It was very entertaining.
That game is like, it really is like marriage counseling. It really is because if you guys haven't played that game, it's like. You got to work through some shiz.
Yeah, it's up live, guys. If you missed it, not live, but it's up live as in it's there. You can watch it. Go back and watch it. It's the spicy stream, marriage counseling stream.
the spicy's marriage counseling video game series. It's really fun. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's jump into the FTC and...
How they suck.
The FTC does suck. The FTC sucks for this reason. So Phil Spencer was on the stand this week. The FTC, the Activision Blizzard deal is coming through, which, by the way, P.S., Jim Ryan's emails were leaked this last week. I believe the news story dropped 2 or 3 days ago, where he basically said, I know Phil Spencer. I know what's Bobby Kotick.
Bobby Kotick, yeah.
I'm not worried about Call of Duty. Also, not worried about this Activision Blizzard deal. And yet Sony's the one opposing it. That hurts them. Those emails leaking, so
that hurts Sony.
That hurts. Yeah, Sony's case.
He was basically just like, nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah, let's pull up Starfield footage though while we talk about this, because Starfield really is at the heart of the Bethesda deal, is what kicked off these acquisitions, really. So come to find out, the reason that. Maybe not the main reason, but the catalyst, the needle on the haystack, the needle that broke the haystack, The needle that broke the camel's back? Is that what? Or that?
No one cares.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know my.
What you're trying to say, David. You're tired.
Wait, let me take a sip of this. Thank you.
Get some caffeine in you.
Yes, thank you. Basically, Microsoft purchased Bethesda because Starfield was going to be exclusive on PlayStation. PlayStation had Deathloop, if you remember, that was exclusive. As well as, what was the other game? There was two of them. Deathloop and Ghostwire. That's right. Both Ghostwire from Bethesda. Tokyo, yeah. Were timed exclusive, but exclusive for what, a good
year?
So
was Starfield going to be a timed exclusive?
He's got word that Starfield was going to be exclusive, and that's really the catalyst for
the Bethesda purchase.
Is it really like
espionage?
It really is. So like, this is what
like, I think you guys remember that movie, The Departed?
I've never seen it. I actually never saw that.
It's a fantastic movie. Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
Correct?
He's like the informant. Do you think there's like a Leonardo DiCaprio from Microsoft in Sony and then vice versa? Like, the espionage must be insane at that high of a corporate level.
It depends on what playthrough of Civilization they're going to go for.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, are they a domination or are they going for science or espionage? I don't know. You know, it just depends.
Yeah.
So here's what Phil Spencer... Here's what Phil Spencer said about it. He said, when we acquired ZeniMax, one of the impetus for that is that Sony had done a deal for Deathloop and Ghostwire to pay Bethesda to not ship those games on Xbox. This is what he said on the stand during the FTC hearing, which, by the way, the FTC sucks. The title of this podcast is the FTC... Not the title of the podcast. The title of the thumbnail is FTC Sucks, because basically you have politicians that know nothing about gaming that are in charge of making regulations and have this big say, have a say in whether or not this deal goes through. The FTC sucks, guys. They don't know what they're talking about at all. And it's clear. Their case, they tried to argue in their case that Nintendo isn't a competitor to Xbox.
Well, yeah, remember what they laid out? Remember we read it all, that they laid out, like, they basically laid out the only gaming, it was weird, because didn't they lay out, like...
They basically are trying to say that only Sony and Microsoft
compete
make up
in
the market.
Gaming, yeah,
the gaming market.
Which, under that,
of course, they would have a huge market share with, if you don't include all of the other gaming entities.
Well, because then you can be like, well, what about Nintendo? Well, we don't consider them a competitor. Well, why not? Because they're not a console.
Yeah, but the FTC's
case... They compared it to a phone, and then you're like, well, what about mobile gaming, right? Like,
yeah, the FTC's case looks really weak. Anyways, so here's what Phil Spencer said about... This is what we learned about the Bethesda acquisition. He said, when we acquired ZeniMax, one of the impetus for that is that Sony had done a deal for Deathloop and Ghostwire to pay Bethesda not to ship those games on Xbox. So, the discussion about Starfield, when we heard that Starfield was potentially also going to end up skipping Xbox, we can't be in a position as a third-place console where we fall... further behind on our content ownership, so we had to secure content to remain viable in the business. Basically, Sony doing these deals forced our hand to purchase Bethesda. That's basically what he said there, which is fascinating. Fascinating.
Is there a jury for this case? I'd love to be like jury duty on this one.
No, apparently, by all reports, the judge seemed very favorable to
gaming?
Xbox. They actually, Final Fantasy.
Gaming?
Final Fantasy.
All right, let's just call it what it is.
Because I believe the FTC
Freedom, and then there's gaming communism.
Because the FTC is suing for an injunction on this to go through until, like, it can, on the Bethesda Xbox, Bethesda Activision acquisition. That's what I'm not, Bethesda. Blizzard.
Blizzard, yeah.
Man, too many Bs. Bitches be crazy. Blizzard, Activision acquisition.
Yeah.
They're suing for an injunction to go through.
And the judge seems to be favorable.
And the judge is ruling on that right now. And yeah, by all reports, the FTC done effed it up. Their case looks so weak, and Phil Spencer just demolished them.
By speaking the truth.
And then the emails from Jim Ryan came out, which is hilarious. But yeah, isn't that interesting that Starfield, that Bethesda is owned by Xbox basically because Sony was too aggressive? One of the other things that Phil Spencer said is that Sony uses the revenue, because there's a rev split on Xbox on Sony, right? So yeah, they use the revenue.
Wait, what? Explain that.
So you're talking about games,
so
right?
70-30. Yeah. So any revenue coming through the Minecraft store on PlayStation, a portion of that is given to PlayStation makes money off of that.
Yeah, just like any other.
Just like
any other.
And so Phil Spencer said on the stand that Sony is using revenue from Xbox games to then block games from Xbox. On the stand.
That's,
here's what he said exactly.
That's actually, you got to give it to Sony on that one, though. That's kind of like, that's, I feel like that's five head thinking.
Here's what I thought when I saw that. I thought,
that's ninja. Ah,
that's why Sony's winning. Sony is crushing it. Well done.
Yeah,
well done.
Well, that's how you play the game. That's
he true. Said, here's what he said on the stand. PlayStation uses the money they make off Xbox games on PS5 to pay for other games to block on the Xbox platform. He said, every time we ship a game on PlayStation, Sony captures 30% of the revenue that we do on their platform, and then they use that money, among other revenue that they have, to do things to try to reduce Xbox's survival in the market. Bam! Gloves off. Well,
so what is this? This is making Sony look like the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not the bad guy. Just saying, like,
anti-gaming.
FTC, if you're going to block this because it's unfair business practices, let me show you what our competition has been doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically, I think, what's being said there. Then the judge asked during this thing about Final Fantasy. Is Final Fantasy exclusive on PlayStation? Phil Spencer, yes. Is it a big game? Yes, it's one of the biggest games.
I mean, I'll just say it right now. It's my game of the year, hands down. Not even a question. Yeah.
So, anyways, it's fascinating. Here's the thing.
Wait, hold on, everybody.
Yes.
Do you think the judge will rule Final Fantasy has to come to the Xbox?
I don't think.
Counter-ruling?
Does he have that power?
No, I don't think. It's a she. I don't think.
Does she have that power?
No, I don't think that they can.
Because if she's an Xbox user and she wants Final Fantasy to come over.
No, yeah. So by all accounts of everybody reporting on this, they were like the FTC's entire case rested on this limited market space, right? Like, they reduced their definition of the gaming market.
That's like saying
Xbox and Sony.
It's like saying Dr. Pepper doesn't compete with Coke or Pepsi.
What? I mean, Dr. Pepper is in a league of its own, man.
It only competes with orange juice. Like,
let's
just
be real. Dr. Pepper is on top.
Yeah, but that's basically what they said, though. That's their argument. No. Hershey's doesn't compete with the other candy bars.
But it just shows, in fact, Jay Wood, who's a YouTuber out there that has excellent coverage on this, shout out to Jay Wood, his analysis, and based off of everything I'm seeing, seems correct, but he's saying he was shocked at how poor of an argument the FTC side made.
Remember everybody
Xbox had asked for 5 days, so this was after like day one or two, and he was like, they could just end it now. They crushed them. But there's still 5 more days because Microsoft wanted 5 days to go through everything on their side.
But and this is the thing. You got to think, like, when you're dealing with that kind of money and acquisition, their lawyers have probably been ready for this for months, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing, too, at some point...
And how many lawyers are on this case?
Oh, well, I mean, it's such a big deal. Once again, I said it before. I will say it again. You don't make an acquisition like this size without having all your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Without being ready to go to the mat. And it looks like Microsoft is ready to go all the way with this.
And everybody loves it when you embarrass the government. So they got that on their side too.
Well, it just illustrates to me, like, in all of the coverage and everything that I've been reading on it, how ill-equipped the FTC is with regards to their
everything,
to the gaming space. They don't know anything. And the other place that we see that is in like cryptocurrency space. Like, they're trying to regulate that right now, and they don't know. There's like 3 congressmen that know anything about technology. Everybody else knows nothing. Like, when you see Mark Zuckerberg or the TikTok CEO go before Congress, and the questions that are asked.
Some of the greatest videos
ever. The questions that are asked are like, do you not use the internet? Like, what?
And it's crazy. Once a congressman or whatever, when they get up there, and then they actually ask a reasonable question,
and you're like, "Oh, he knows what he's talking about." And it's just like a basic. It's like a fifth grader could ask that question.
It's like, that's crazy.
But everybody else is so bad that it makes them look that expertise. Expertise is there. Anyways, that's the FT. That's the, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be.
When does the judge rule? 5 days, five more days, right? Three more days now, I guess.
This is just on the injunction. So this isn't on the final thing, in, to my understanding. But
yeah, but like if one, you know,
I'm sure we'll find out. Right? I'm sure we'll find out soon.
So the injunction is to stop it. So if she rules no on the injunction, then it goes to the FTC, and then the FTC decides from that point. Such a confusing system, right?
Yeah, I don't know how
it is. I just started watching this show called Suits.
Hey, I did too. Yeah, I'm on season three.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah,
the legal, man. I don't know, but it makes great. It makes great drama TV.
Yeah, it does make great drama TV. Spicy.
Yo,
since we've been gone, have you been playing Diablo still? Have you continued on with your Diablo-esqueness?
No, I did for a few days. I actually haven't been able to play much at all.
Oh, really? I thought you would be like capped out and ready to roll.
I'm pretty far. I just hit Paragon. So,
oh, okay.
So that's level 50.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm far behind people that lean into gaming pretty hard, but I just haven't had time. So, but I really like that game a lot. I'm loving Diablo.
Yeah, shout out to Jerry Holbrook. He says the judge's final ruling is this Thursday. There we go.
Yeah.
Wait, and what does that mean? Is this just like
this? Well, this is just for the
one of
this is just for the injunction. That's why it's confusing, because like this is just for the injunction.
I understand.
Act one of like a three chapter.
I mean, I would assume it's kind of a domino effect, right? If the injunction doesn't go through, then I assume everything will just kind of slowly fall into place.
Can I ask you something?
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of games spend a lot of time and effort in this, the character creator screen. I mean, look at Starfield. This is one of the... Is this the Starfield Direct video that we're watching? Yeah, what is this one?
The first one, right? 40-minute one that was at the...
Yeah. So, ultimately, does a character creation screen matter? Like,
in my opinion, I think a basic character creator is fine. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to make or break the game.
I will argue.
A lot of games will really push that.
Yeah.
Why? Like, I'm curious on their end, what do they see?
I'm going to give you a game that makes sense.
Give it
Black
to me.
Desert Online.
Okay.
That's hot.
Beautiful.
Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
One of that character creator is phenomenal.
Great boob physics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everyone's it's like watching a CW show. Everyone is absolutely hot in that one.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go wrong with that one. I think, I don't know, I spend a lot of time on character creators.
It just seems like a lot of games push
but
that.
If the game part, didn't really have, but if the game didn't have a character creator, see, that's where I'm like.
I get what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if a game has a character creator, I make a character that looks like myself.
Slightly I'll give you more an muscular. Example. I was watching you play Final Fantasy, and I
yeah, but he already looks
like,
badass.
I was like, oh, they've tried to make this character, and then I realized, oh no, this is Final Fantasy. It's but, already a character with a story, so who the cares?
Yeah, well, but when you make a character that looks that good, they've already done it for you. There's no need. You know what I mean? There's no need.
But I will say, after seeing the character on Fable, I kind of want to go back and kind of work that character model. That is one of the ugliest characters. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
This is like, ugh.
Maybe that's what they went for.
Yeah. It's just, woo.
Wait, this is Fable?
Yeah, the Fable cinematic thing that we got.
I'll pull
that
it.
That is replicates gameplay.
I'll just see if there's a screenshot.
The main character was kind of like...
I was confused a little bit, like, huh? And I think that's kind of like the British humor. I think it was a joke. They just were like, hey. But I don't know. But it's kind of like, ooh. I wish I had a character creator to make...
That one.
To redo, just... You know how they have the random?
Yeah.
Whoop, just randomize something else.
So one thing that happened while we were gone, while Spicy pulls up the Fable stuff, Jordan.
Yeah.
No more cutscenes in, or cinematic seasonal scenes in Halo.
Yeah, which I don't like. I mean, Halo's just getting cut left and right, man. Like,
yeah.
At this point, you're just, it's laying on the ground and you're just, you know, I don't know. It's just, but anyway, we were talking about it, David and I. I think. Sorry, I just saw a glimpse of the picture that Mark was looking at.
Like, look at this. Like, it's just like, I don't know. You know,
that would be a redo that character. Yeah,
that would be a refresh for me. But
I don't know. It's got potential.
Okay. All right. You know. But that's fine. Just I personally would hold X and refresh it.
There's been a bunch of videos on this. I have seen like players headlining this. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what you went for.
Like, if that's what you want, that's great. I would have a character creator just so I could re-roll this one.
So in chat, Craig McLean says, D&D players understand character creation adds to full role-play immersion.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. I get, so on that Starfield that we were just watching, the reason it came up is because we had the video playing for those listening in the background, and they were on the character creation showing the facial expressions and changing the eyebrows and whatnot. But for the comment on D&D, the background is a different thing. I'm not talking about character creation background.
You're just talking about what
I'm just talking about, like, the looks, and they really a lot of games seem to really focus on like their in-depth character creation there, which background is a part of that. But I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the actual character creation.
Well, like tools. Black Desert Online, you essentially have no background. It's just like
a character. It's creator, just looks. It's just superficial.
Kinda, yeah, but
I will say.
So
though,
I get the background because you want like a background.
No, story. Yeah, because well, yeah, you like write your own.
It affects your you but know that's abilities more of you like, have and stuff like that.
I feel like that's more like choosing your class, doing your attributes. You know what I mean? That's kind
of. And it's not that I don't appreciate it. My question is, I guess I'm just wondering why. I wonder why a lot of games seem to really focus on that when they're advertising their game. But does it change anything if it sucks? If the game is great,
like if you're,
Zelda doesn't let you do it, right? Because you're playing a specific character, Final Fantasy. You're playing a specific character. Doesn't take anything away from that.
Well, let's find a game that has like not a great character creator, right?
That's good.
That's good. maybe there is no Ark. Game that doesn't have a
Ark.
Ark gives you too much control, where you can really go crazy.
Genitals.
I don't think that one gives you genitals, but it does make.
You Rust. Like, I'm thinking Rust.
You can get how? Huh, yeah. Yes. No. You can have the arms like 15 feet long. You know. You look,
yeah.
Look all distorted and everything. Well, here's an example of a game that has a character creator, and I never use it because I prefer Captain or Shepard, you know, it's Mass Effect.
Yeah. So, that's true, yeah.
So they let you customize your own character and all that stuff, but for some reason, the game is just far more fun to play as Commander Shepard.
Like the default character that they give you.
That they give you, and that's when they come out with trailers and all the cutscenes and everything. The default Commander Shepard is far more relatable. I feel more immersed playing as that character than having my own.
But it does have a character creator, right?
Correct.
So whether you use it or not. I don't know. Character creation, I don't know. Is it a hard question? Let's take the newest Diablo. Like, it has a character creator. Traditionally, Diablo, I think Immortal had a character creator. But traditionally, Diablo, like, they just, when you were the barbarian, you were just like a jacked dude, right?
Jacked.
The sorcerer was, they usually create the characters for you. Now Diablo 4, now they've added the character creator.
But it's very limited.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away nor, for me at least, it doesn't take away nor add to the game.
I think what...
Maybe it slightly adds to the game little bit, because I can make...
This one...
Myself, but I mean, it's...
This one's more so than the others because of how the cutscenes work in that game versus the others.
Yeah, but half the time I'm like wearing a helmet.
Well, you can have that off.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just, I'm just saying.
I know, my necromancer looks like a meth addict.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Real quick, I do want to make a correction. I think I shouted out Jerry Holbrook. It was Dark Knight who said the judge's ruling is on Thursday. Thank you, Dark. Dark Knight. Appreciate it.
Here's another one. Destiny has a character creator that's very limited.
Yeah, but who cares about Destiny? You never see your character. But
that's my point. Like,
it's a first.
I got a hot lady with pigtails. I got the pigtail situation going on.
I mean, yes, you can take your helmet off, and like when you hit the pause menu, there's your face. But if Destiny didn't have a character creator, would it? That's what I'm trying to ask myself. Would it take away from
it? No, because you're always wearing a helmet anyway. Like when you see your character, it's...
If, let's say, Black Desert, if it didn't have an intense... I mean, obviously, it would have a character creator because it's an MMO, but if it didn't have a character creator at the level it did, would it take away from the game?
Wait, what game?
Black Desert Online.
No, because you could still AFK fish. That's all that matters.
Well, see, and that's what I'm trying to ask myself. if a game doesn't have a character creator or a limited character creator, does it? I'm not saying, look, I mean, every time it has a character creator, I just try and make it look like me, just more muscular, and I appreciate that. Yeah. But does it take away from the game if I don't have that? My answer, I think, is for the most part, no.
I think after this discussion, I think we can all agree it doesn't matter as much as they put emphasis on trailers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's what started this
exactly, discussion. Exactly, yeah.
Because a lot of games, I mean, even Cyberpunk was like, guess what?
Guess what you can do? You can
put a star as pubic hair on your genitals.
You could do anything you want.
Yeah, we got a genital creator.
That one did affect me because in that game walking around, I knew, like, my character has a huge...
That one affected me because I knew.
I knew that my
character walking around in that game, in a game I couldn't play, was looking good.
I was wondering how he was walking around.
Well, I had the Series X. I could play it. It was just, there was the same people walking by checking out my junk.
Copies of myself. Let's end on this. I think T-Buck sums it up well in chat. He says, any character creator is better than no character creator.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Amen. Fair enough.
But, I mean, if there's a trailer, let's put that at 10% or less of the trailer.
Yeah, like they spent what I want to see is the background options. I don't care. They were showing off like mustache options.
Given a percentage, I would say the character creator is 2% value of the game. So give me 2% of that. You know, talking points about that. That's fine.
Maybe it's higher in, like, The Sims. Since that game is about, like...
Character creation.
But that's
I thought that game was about, like, burning your house down.
That would be, like, the only...
That's a side effect of that game.
When you get to see a blurred out nakedness shower scenes, you want a character creation.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, right. I don't think I've ever...
Never played The Sims?
I've seen gameplay. I don't think I've ever played it.
Yeah, wow. It's actually fun. I like building my own house.
I like getting a job.
Getting promoted, working out.
And yes! I could now afford this new add-on to my house here.
It's great.
I mean, I've seen stuff. But
so, Jordan, back to Halo. Halo Infinite multiplayer. So, we got Season 4, which season four looks awesome,
back
actually.
Back to Halo. Were we talking about
Halo? While you were pulling up the Fable.
Yeah, we were talking about Halo.
Fable thing, Jordan.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, sorry, because you were looking for the Fable. But let's keep it on... Starfield, why not? It's the biggest game. Or you could actually pull up the Halo Season 4 trailer. So Season 4 looks good. I've not jumped into it. Not had a chance to play or anything. But 343 came out and announced that they're scrapping, they're getting rid of cinematic content.
Now here's the thing.
At seasonal cinematics. So no storytelling in the season.
Personally, I enjoyed the cinematics. I thought they progressively got better. I actually like the cinematics in like these multiplayer seasonal games.
Context.
Yeah, and it's kind of a fun little story you can get into. I mean, I mean, it's one of those things like, is it overall going to affect anything? I mean, I don't know. The thing that disappoints me more so is the fact that they just keep cutting stuff. And David and I were talking about this. We think they're like bringing it down to bare bones because they're going to give the game to another studio.
I think so. I think something's happening here with Halo.
Yeah, like
based off nothing. Based off nothing except for this.
Yeah.
And watching Halo. I think they're supporting Halo season content. And this is cool, by the way. The Seeker radar. Boom.
Yeah.
There we go. Love that. That's new. There's another one, too. I can't remember what the other one is. But I think they're going to continue to support it. The gameplay is fantastic, but it feels like I think we're going to get a Halo reboot at some point. I really do. I think that they're going to give it to another studio. I think 343 is out long term. Maybe not. This is again,
or maybe no knowledge. Maybe I don't know if they necessarily get rid of 343, but I think they maybe shift other studios over to be a part of 343. I don't know. It's
because if you're Microsoft. At this point, Halo is iconic for you, but you're about to enter. Let's say Starfield is as good as it looked during Direct.
Yeah.
Are you adjusting to Starfield is now your marquee title that you promote all of your stuff on?
I hope not, because last time they did that, we got Halo. I feel like every time Microsoft gets...
Anytime they lean into it?
Yeah, like it's like, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's the fact that they're not leaning into
it. That's a glass half empty type
of thing. Yeah, maybe it's the fact that... There, well, because we know Microsoft is a super hands-off approach, right? Which maybe isn't necessarily the answer. Because, I mean, look at this. When I say we have Halo, I actually really enjoyed Halo Infinite. I know some people...
IGN gave it a 9.
Yeah, I know some people... think the campaign is mediocre, which is fine. I enjoyed the campaign. I thought it was a good fresh start for Halo. I think the multiplayer is in a pretty, for the most part, in a good spot. I mean, it's fun every time I play it. I like the updates they're making. The thing about Halo Infinite is we just thought there would be a lot more support. There are little things that I wish they would change that we've talked about a million times, and it seems like every month there's some form of bad news when it comes to Halo, even if it's something as little as no more multiplayer cutscenes. Like, it feels like they're continuously cutting back. And why would you do that? I don't think they're going to get rid of Halo.
They're cutting back. They need to reallocate resources, essentially.
Yeah.
To bring out the features.
And we that already
want to bring to multiplayer.
We already know they like gutted 343 Industries, right? So I mean, what's the plan going forward? Are they going to reallocate 343 and do so? I don't know. I think they're getting ready to do something.
Let me ask you this, completely hypothetical here. Let's start with Spicy on this. Would you be opposed to the next iteration of Halo being single player only?
No, but yes.
If it was a 10 out of 10.
Well, I mean...
Call it something else.
It would not be Halo for you. It has to have a multiplayer. Well, it can
be in the Halo
aspect.
Universe. That'd be cool. That'd be fine. I'll take a 10 out of 10 game. But if it have it be in the same universe, but not...
So Halo...
We've already talked about Halo has three core pillars, right?
So you Halo, campaign, the IP... Multiplayer, and Forge. That's just what I wanted to clarify. Halo, the IP, multiplayer is critical to it.
As well as the campaign and as well as Forge. I think those are the three main pillars of the Halo community.
Okay.
Yeah, and so you're saying get rid of two of those, David.
No, I'm just questioning. I'm questioning like what... Because I'm thinking about like Wolfenstein or Doom and how good those are. I guess Doom has multiplayer. But I'm just thinking what are possible... The next Halo could be. Maybe they do something like that. I don't know. I think
Halo Infinite could... have been like a huge title. I think how do I explain this without like I'm not trying to insult
just, well like, it, I just I what don't it feels think like for multiplayer is a missed opportunity.
Well, I don't think they understood what they were doing. For example, it's just that we were told that, or like the development team and the marketing team were on two different pages, because we were told in specific interviews, like, oh, this engine we created was made for live service. We can drop things in and out very quickly and blah, 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 and do all this stuff. And we come to find out that that's not the case. Well, like,
we know what happened. A lot of information came out that, who went there at the end of the cycle, developments, like 2 years left of the cycle. Mm-hmm. What was his name? I can't remember his name. Anyway,
Jason Statham.
The transporter
went in there and got things done.
The transporter got in there.
Joe Staten.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, a lot of things were shifted, and I think a lot of the team was not happy. And there's a whole bunch of things went down with 2 years left of the development cycle. Which, I mean, I think the marketing team tried to, you know, salvage a lot that was going down, but we know that changes were happening. Things were gutted. I think he went in and he wanted to make it feel like classic Halo.
Yeah, well,
which I actually agree with, but it had been in development for so long.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to release it, and so they released it in, okay, here's single player campaign when all the other Halos we had co-op campaign. Here's, you know, we're not doing Forge, but we're giving you this. And they released it. They focused on certain sections.
Yeah.
Staggeringly, like it staggered out on how they did that. And I think that's the reason what you're mentioning, Jordan, is what we're seeing. We didn't get to see all that until, you know, recently.
Yeah. Well, I think, to be honest, I think the biggest mistake Halo Infinite made was, and this may have just been a marketing thing, but I working on that slipspace engine. I think, like, yeah, looking back, I mean, hindsight's 20/20,
yeah,
but looking back,
it limited them, particularly when they were wanted, when you need quick turnaround seasonal content.
Which is why, haven't we heard rumors that the supposedly the, isn't it Creative Assembly? I don't know. The supposedly Halo Battle Royale is on the Unreal Engine. Maybe Halo Infinite should have been on the Unreal Engine. I mean, you already have a studio that you own that is very familiar with the Unreal Engine, the Coalition, right? You have,
that's true.
You have Epic Games, who, from what I understand, is very supportive of developers using the Unreal Engine. My only worry, and we talked about this probably last year sometime during a podcast, is if you were on a different engine, the Unreal Engine, would it still feel like Halo? And I think we came to the conclusion that, yeah, you can make it feel like Halo no matter what engine you're on, you know? Yeah.
But see, so, I think we had people... Actually, I think I read... Believe it or not, I read some of the comments on YouTube where a developer came in and spoke on one of our videos when we were talking about that, and they said that changing an engine is like the last resort. That's like the button to explode everything, to just wipe everything away.
Well, yeah, because you can't just like hit,
that's,
you know.
That's like when, if that happens...
to be honest...
That's not a good thing.
Personally,
to switch engines.
I think that's what they're doing.
You think,
and
so?
And I think that's why you're getting all these cuts. I think that's why is just... I think... I'm just... This is just going off. We heard a rumor. You guys remember the rumor that... I don't know if it was Creative Assembly or who it was. It was someone, wasn't it, that was supposedly working on a Battle Royale Halo game, and it was on the Unreal Engine?
Oh, yeah. It's not a rumor. Wasn't it confirmed? I believe it was confirmed.
I don't know. But... I don't know. I think... Well, and the other thing about...
It wasn't Creative Assembly, though.
About an engine is Microsoft... And this is maybe what Microsoft should change, too. We've heard all this stuff where Microsoft does, like... they do contract work, which is nothing necessarily wrong with contract work, right? But they do it in, like... What is it? 9-month increments or something like that? So as soon as the contract is up, that person is done and out. And then they have to bring a new person in. And it's just, like, a bad way of doing things, because it's, like, that person has to come in, learn all the systems, do all this stuff, learn this engine that's in-house that you've created. And the reason we were talking about the Unreal Engine is because...
Quantum Translocator. Sorry to interrupt.
And the reason we were talking about the Unreal Engine is because, from what I understand, in the development community, the Unreal Engine is very baseline. Like, a lot of developers understand the Unreal Engine and how it works. So it's a lot easier to integrate with that when you get, like, new hires or new people. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know.
Irregardless, it is.
It's just bad news for Halo again. You know what I mean?
It's interesting. Well, and it seems like although they're improving.
Season 4 does look good.
It seems like they're improving season to season with the.
You finally got Infection. I mean.
But the new ability.
If that doesn't say you have problems with your engine, I don't know what does. It took a year and a half to put Infection in. Like, you know.
But also the Translocator, Quantum Translocator, Relocator ability.
Yeah. Tracer.
Looks super cool.
Have you seen that, Mark? You basically Tracer. And hey, like. Cool item. Really excited for that piece of equipment. Yeah.
So you can move around.
That's a lot. It's more like, it's not necessarily Tracer. It's actually more like the other one.
That other guy.
Yeah, no, she shaved the side shaved head. Hacker.
No.
I know
who you're talking about.
Oh, there's too many characters now. What is her name?
We're talking about a character from Overwatch.
Yeah, she goes like this.
She's the she speaks Spanish.
Yes. What is her name? That's gonna bother Veronica. Me. No. What is there? Someone help me out here. What is her name? I can think of like every other character. Reaper.
I know.
Tracer. Soldier 76. Mercy.
We're going to go. Farrah.
What is her name? This is so. Don't tell me. No one tell me. I'm going to think of it because it's bothering me. Like, I know every other character. Reinhardt.
Okay. Here it comes. They're about to show off the Quantum Trans Relocator.
Okay.
Here it is. Right here. Spicy, check it out. Quantum Trans Relocator. Here he is. He activates it right here. Jumps across. Someone's there to shoot him. Bloop. Go back.
Bloop. Do it again.
Now I'll crush you. Super cool.
Oh my gosh. Cool, what is her name?
Super cool.
I know it. You want me to say it?
Oh.
It's Spicy. Looked it up.
Oh, goodness. I know. Wait, I could see every other character.
Hispanic Overwatch character.
No, I have to erase my search history on this one. Starts with an S.
Sandra.
Sombra.
There it is.
Oh man. Wow.
We are jet lag. People
are
listening.
Also on Apex, who's that skeleton robot guy? It's his ability too. I would say it's more like his ability. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I don't even know. I'm not even going to try and guess his name.
You know what I'm talking about. That's his, like, alt.
Isn't his name, like, Reaper? It's not Reaper, but it's, like, something like that. Yeah. Like, it's something, like, mean, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to go...
The assassin
character? The other thing that I want to go over and discuss before...
Oh, season 4 is out now. So
season 4 is out now, yes.
Now ready to go, yeah.
I think it looks good.
Hey, I got to say this. I think I do like Halo Infinite. I have fun every time I play it. I have my issues with it, but I gotta say this: credit where credit's due. One of the best things Halo Infinite ever done, or has done, is the seasonal season pass. Like going back, like you never lose a season pass. Mm. That's been really nice. It feels
Revenant.
Thank you for that, guy. Yeah, yeah. I knew it was something mean.
Oh, know? Remember the so, hype? But, remember Apex at the apex of their. Of their seasonal reveals and his unveiling.
Oh, yeah. They have, well, that's a company that makes great
games. But so good. The reason I mention that is because I'm not all the way done with season 3. I think I might have like maybe 30 or 20 levels left on season 3. But what's nice is I don't feel pressured. Like, okay, I can go in, play season 4. I can continue to finish my season 3 battle pass, then start working on season 1. I think a lot of games should do that from now on, and I actually really appreciate that 343 did that, not losing your season pass, especially when you pay money for it. Because if you think about it, you're kind of getting gypped when you buy a season pass, unless you complete it. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%, yes. if you buy a season pass and don't play the game, you're getting gypped, Jordan.
Yeah.
If you pay for a game and you don't play it, yes. It's like buying a ticket to the movies and not going.
Like, it's not even a challenge. It's just you have to play the game.
Well, I mean,
then you get gypped, yes.
And I like battle passes. So, like, I buy a lot and I don't finish a lot. And it's, you know, I appreciate that Halo allows me to go back.
Well done. Well done on that.
I think most of them do now, don't they?
I actually think Halo is actually one of the only ones. Call of Duty doesn't.
Oh, maybe
Fortnite doesn't.
I don't play them.
Fortnite would be one that I'd want to go back.
Wow, Fortnite. No, I think you can't. Fortnite also does really well. I want this skin or dance or whatever that's unique.
Well, they're definitely not targeting kids anymore. They are. They actually are. But like when they're pulling out like Dragon Ball Z characters, it's like...
Or Attack on Titan.
They're aiming for a different demographic. They're aiming for me. And I will buy those and not play the game.
Can we talk about... Well, let's talk about this before I bring up the streaming situations. But Microsoft, while we were gone, Matt Booty explained why they're not into VR. He says that the audience just isn't there. And there's been debate on that. Should they jump in? Should they chase what PlayStation is doing with their PSVR? I've all along said I don't think VR is the future for at-home console play. I don't think it has mass market appeal in the respect that it cuts you off from the world around you. You moving about is required for... I compared it. I did a video on my channel, youtube.com/SixOneTheGamer. Go check it out. Which, by the way, stay tuned. There's more channels coming, but I'm very excited for. But... Daily Xbox news dropping. Next one, the gamer.
Okay, do you have a point to this, or is this all shameless plug section?
No. My point, over there, I did a video on this, and I said I compared VR to laser tag. Laser tag, you can buy laser tag to play at home, but it never hit like this mass market appeal where everybody had a laser tag set and you had to play with each other, and that was the way to do it, because the optimal laser tag experience is at a facility that has all of the resources there, has the best equipment, has the space and the room and everything. That to me is how VR, where VR is optimal right there. VR is optimal at a facility. It's an experience where you go, where they have a moving treadmill that you can, you know, walk in all directions and just fully immerse yourself in this experience. And I think VR is niche. I think Microsoft is smart for not chasing that rabbit hole. I don't know, outside of Flight Simulator and racing, I think it's going to be very hard to create an experience that does not require...
Cockpit Simulator.
Yes, does not require a facility to have an optimal experience there. And so I think that's the right move. And I think Matt Booty and Phil Spencer said it in the past, but Matt Booty clarifying and saying they need at least 10 million for a game to be considered successful has to reach 10 million players. And they've not seen anything like that in VR yet. Thoughts?
No, I mean, yeah.
Well, I remember it created waves. Like, I like VR. I enjoyed my, you know, the VRs that we've had in play. I mean,
yeah, it's super cool, no doubt.
I like it, but I mean, maybe there might have been a little too much outrage against that. Like, I don't necessarily think they're wrong.
Yeah.
But I also think VR can be fun. But does VR need?
So I'm not saying that the PS I'm not saying that the VR experience is bad.
Cool. It's cool. Yeah.
It's super cool. It's super unique. What I'm saying is
it's not.
I don't think it will ever reach mass market gaming console appeal that consoles have. So for instance, consoles took what the arcade was and brought it to your house. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's VR. I think AR can do that. I think VR, the only way that VR could do that, because it requires movement in a space, the only way that VR would reach mass market appeal is I could experience it the way Sword Art Online is. I could lay down on my couch and I could have that same experience just from sitting still. That's why it is a great cockpit simulator, like you said, Spicy.
Because you're
just sitting still.
That, or I would say a combination of the two, because I think like Resident Evil does their VR very well, where you're sitting on the couch, you're still using a controller, you're just in the first person.
Yeah.
So I think a combination of the two could work, you know?
Yeah.
The problem is it doesn't matter how fun it is if people aren't playing it. If people aren't buying it, that's the argument that Microsoft just said.
It is super cool experience.
We just don't see the popularity.
Yeah, I think augmented reality. I think that's why the Apple headsets, Apple's new headset. I don't even remember what it's called. Is actually smart. It's $3,500, and they're clearly jumping into the space for developers.
$3,500.
Yeah, pull it.
This is the same company that made like a $300 mask, right? The problem.
Well, they were jumping into the space.
Yeah, Apple Vision Pro. Pull it up, Spicy.
Okay.
So MBHD, MBMD. Wait, what's Marcus Brownlee?
MB Cage.
MBK. Whatever.
Yeah.
He did a review on it. He was like, yeah, it is super impressive. It's doing things that he's not seen done before. And they're clearly jumping in for a, like, this is for developers right now. Like that's what this is. Their Apple Vision Pro. But what they do is it has both VR and AR. So you can slide it back for AR. So right there, like that's in AR mode. They're seeing your eyes, which is funny. It's actually cameras. It's not a see-through screen. It's cameras pointed at your eyes that are then projecting your eyes to the outward world via an OLED screen. Crazy.
Here's the thing, though.
But that is correct. Like, see, she's in AR mode right now. I think AR is the future because it doesn't remove you from your space. So you can clearly see everything around you. I think Phil Spencer's comment a few years ago where he said it isolates you as a gaming experience. I agree with that. I think gaming is successful because it's communal. So VR, when we're playing something in VR and you're sitting on the couch and you're doing it at a party and your friend is up and you're watching their reaction to dinosaurs, their reaction is the entertainment because you can project it on a screen. But what you see on the screen is not at all what they're seeing in VR. I think that's the problem. Whereas if we're all sitting on a couch playing a game together, we all are seeing the same thing. So it's this communal experience.
Yeah.
I actually think that just having TVs everywhere is the future.
You know what Apple's good at? Making stuff that looks really stupid on you look cool.
Look cool, yeah. No, they nailed the fashionista of it all, right?
Yeah. Apple by Balenciaga.
But you notice what they're highlighting here. While this is a VR headset,
looking at pictures of
they
your
spent
kids?
A lot of time highlighting the AR portion of this.
Yeah.
Because look at, like, that's your, you know, why buy?
What are they tied into?
They never show that. Is that a battery pack that
it's a Neuralink.
On your back?
It's a Neuralink.
No, look, they hide it in like a pocket.
Because that's the thing. with like your higher end VR devices is there's a lot of you're tied into like that's why I think the Quest is actually like the Quest is really appealing to me because of the wireless.
Yeah, that's why the Quest is.
Like I really like it, but agreed. From what I understand, the Quest isn't as powerful as the other VR devices sure. because it's wireless. Yeah. So, but I really want to know what they're tied into. Is it like what are those little mic packs called when they're doing like lapel mics? You know what I mean? Like, where's that cord going?
You know? It's going to
the Apple Pro.
I have some right over here.
$30,000 Apple Pro behind them.
Yeah. That you have to carry around.
That's the part they left out. No, but see, again, look at they're really highlighting the AR. Now imagine playing a video game with your controller on that, and all of a sudden, like that right there. I don't need a TV. I don't need a screen. That, to me, is more of a future for gaming. At home, mass market appeal, use case scenario, than current, at least, yeah. VR situation.
I mean, it's exciting. I still feel like we're far off because, for example, I don't think you're going to get the... like, right now, I don't think you have the fidelity or... yeah, fidelity. I don't think you have the fidelity.
It depends on what that's connected to, Jordan.
Yeah. No, I don't think...
Here we go. Here's the situation right here. He's playing NBA 2K.
Yeah, but I don't think you have the fidelity on that screen as you do on your giant LG... 4K, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like you don't have the color range, you don't have the fidelity.
This is your opportunity to look stupid and not have to talk to people that are around you. Like this is perfect.
First of all, this person's reading the Los Angeles Times. Who reads the Los Angeles Times anymore? Yeah.
Looking like that.
Yeah. Clearly this person does.
That's what I'm saying. This is like that's like you walk in and you see somebody like that, you're like, okay. I'll see you later.
Well, they have situations here because they're trying to highlight this, the AR experience. So they have situations where it has cameras facing your eyes.
Yeah, and that's where you're looking.
And it will map out your face as a result. So you can FaceTime from this device. There you go. So she's FaceTiming and it's showing to them on their side this computer generated thing of your face, which looks super real.
So funny.
So, but they have instances where they have like a dad at a birthday party who's recording footage of the kid, and it records it in like a 3D space, so that then you can go back into VR and watch it.
I don't think that cord's plugged into anything.
It's like a battery pack.
No, I don't think so.
The battery pack is a diaper she's wearing.
You would see like the outline in her pocket. I think they just stuffed the cord in her pocket because the cord does go somewhere. Oh no, maybe there is a battery pack.
Yeah, that looks like a battery pack or your phone or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I just really want to know what they're plugged into. That's really all I care about with these things.
Well, so David, are you saying that the dad's at his kid's birthday party and he's wearing this helmet?
Yeah, he's wearing
it. And the kid's like, "Where's my dad?"
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't see a bunch of people walking around with these things on, like at a birthday party, or like this. This is stupid.
No,
this is stupid. Watch this. The stewardess will come up to them. Yeah, so she's watching her movie and like look at her eyeballs. So look at. So this is her turning it now into VR. Boom. So now she's in VR.
Okay, the first thing wrong with this, David, a person wearing this is not going to be in coach. Okay? Like, look, she's like next to the guy snoring.
She's in coach. Yeah, that's not first class, baby.
This is not her. That's the first problem here.
Yeah, but I don't see people walking around. Like, it's hilarious that they do that. But look, see, you spin the dial, and it turns it into VR for
it's
you.
It's the VR dial.
I mean, I can see in like 200 years, this is probably going to be a thing where we just don't look at people anymore.
We look at people's eyes through a screen that is projecting their eyes outward.
Yeah, like everyone will just look like Daft Punk. There's going to be a time in 200 years where Daft Punk is just everyone around you.
If they're targeting what's the use case here?
The first apps will drop in 1 year. So this reveal literally was a developer reveal to see what developers do with this now. And it's going to be fascinating to see what they do with it. I think AR, so I think the HoloLens case study of the Minecraft popping out of the table.
Yeah.
Oh, Apple just turned off the stream.
Okay.
Apparently, we can't be showing off the Apple Vision Pro and reacting to it.
Will it re-up?
Audio and video. Yep.
It's still recording. So everybody listening.
We're still here. Yes.
What just happened is we were talking about the Apple mask or the Apple.
Maybe it's because we kind of insulted it. I don't know. It's...
That is too.
All right. Well,
we'll just continue. So the show is no longer live.
The stream will be unblocked to everybody live here as you're listening as soon as we stop playing it, right?
Yeah. So I just moved it to something else. So
just move it to us full screen.
Let's just do us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we
that's so crazy. How is
chat's going crazy? I guess I'm not allowed to make fun of the Apple helmet.
Wow.
Well, okay. So everyone listening, I think we'll just keep this in the show. I don't know how we're going to keep it in the show, but I want to. I want you guys to know. Listening, we were streaming the trailer live.
Yeah.
Of the Apple mask,
the keynote that everybody has already seen because it's already public
that we're reacting to.
And we just got shut down on our stream,
and it wasn't full screened. Was there audio playing through from it?
No audio.
Here's what it says. Error. Your stream has been temporarily blocked because we detected copyrighted audio and video.
It's not audio. There's no audio coming through the stream except our...
Let me refresh and see if we're back up yet. We're not.
Oh, well. What are we talking about now?
No, we can still talk about this. That's absolutely nuts. So
Apple, there we go, and we're back.
Hey, everybody,
Apple
we're back.
No longer being Apple doesn't want us to talk about their helmet.
We're back. Apparently, we can't even show video and react to it
of a public
Apple
keynote address.
Yeah,
of a public. Oh, that's pretty funny. Sorry, everybody, live. Sorry, that was crazy.
Yeah. The only other time this has happened on our stream was
Godzilla.
Was Godzilla.
When Jordan was talking about Godzilla. Yeah.
Which, by the way, was already a public trailer that everybody... Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely nuts. So what we'll do then for the audio, I think we're going to keep that entire section in the middle where we were just like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, so on the YouTube video, that blocked part will stay. But on the Spotify video, if you watch us on Spotify, because we record this separately, so you'll see our side of it. And same with audio, so you'll have heard.
So you'll just hear us like, oh, yeah, what the?
Yeah, we didn't pay our Apple fees.
I guess I can't make fun of Apple. My bad.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not apologizing.
Sorry to Apple. You actually were complimenting them on their style.
I actually did. They were making something so stupid look decent.
Let's talk about Kick real quick.
Kick.com.
Oh, yeah.
XQC, 100 million to go stream on Kick. What are our thoughts on that?
That's a lot of money.
Kick is...
You know what I could do with 100 million?
Yeah. For those that may not watch streams or you go outside and touch grass for a living, you know, Twitch is a streaming service. A lot of gamers are on there. A lot of hot tub people are on there now, too.
No, they're all on Kick now.
Yeah. I know. That's funny. Kick is a... It's an interesting Twitch competitor that's come around in the last few years. It gained a lot of popularity in like December of 2022 when Trainwreck moved over there.
Well, and then you're allowed to do slots and stuff over
well,
there.
Well, that's, which is, yeah. Which, I think know,
it's its own category. I think it's number two right now, slots and casino.
I read something that Trainwreck was making $360 million, or he made $360 million.
And thank you. They have just chatting. Sorry to interrupt you. But they have their own pools, hot tubs, and bikinis category.
Well, so does Twitch now.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, they've had that for a while.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then Twitch's TOS came out and said you couldn't do any gambling or anything like that while streaming. So, Trainwreck's actually, when you make $360 million, apparently doing that as a stream, you figure stuff out. And I was reading into Kick, trying to understand like who owns them and everything. Yeah. Apparently, it's
the gambling company that owns them.
Well, yes. Yeah,
is that
Strike?
Why?
No, Stake.
Stake. Yeah.
Stake. Well, it's owned by like several. It's like a conglomerate of like a crypto company, a billionaire from LA, and Stake. Like a whole bunch of people. But the good news is it's a competitor for streaming, which.
is needed.
Is very needed, because I think Twitch's goal is to try to figure out how to
screw everyone.
Screw everyone and become... Twitch is an interesting case where can you be too big to fail? I think that Blizzard's an interesting case with that too. But so it's a competing service for streaming. These last couple weeks, it was announced that XQC, the largest streamer, the number one streamer on Twitch, got signed to move to Kick. Exclusively for a 2-year contract for $100 million.
Yeah, now that's not been confirmed. Obviously, it's NDA, but that's what's being reported. $100 million.
$100 million, which I think that's bigger than all of. Is there any sports in America that has?
He makes more than LeBron James, who I think was the highest paid
player. Right? Whew. Blows my mind. And I actually think this is very strategic because. Was it June 6th or 7th? Actually, I think both those days Twitch stumbled again. They came out with some TOS changes that
About like the burn-ins and stuff like that. Yeah,
they basically said, creators, you cannot have burn-in ads anymore, and your logos need to be lower than 3% of your screen.
I love how they framed it too, because it was like, this is for you.
So let's talk about burn-in ads. So a burn-in ad is Spicy streaming. Let's say Spicy is streaming.
I'm playing a game with my wife.
Yeah. Woo, and yay. Spicy has a deal with Stream Deck, his own deal that he's made, and he's advertising.
Stream Deck
on his stream in a banner that comes across his stream. Twitch said, no, you can't do that. You have to go through Twitch. Basically, Twitch is clamping down, making it so that the only advertising that happens on Twitch happens through, which is foolish because, for instance, on YouTube, I don't understand the move because your competitors are not doing that. They're doing the exact opposite. YouTube still runs its own ads, and YouTubers all the time do their own read-ins.
Read-ins, affiliates, all that stuff.
They're basically taking that away. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't read one in, but you just can't. You can't have a permanent ad, which is what every streamer has done forever.
I love how they framed it too. Like, oh, this is for the viewers to reduce ads on screen and clutter.
Funny too,
you're not reducing the ads that you're putting up there. Like, it's a move to benefit Twitch and Twitch only.
Well, I don't think it benefits them. I think it hurt them.
It hurt them hard. Yeah. I actually think this move for XQC was specifically timed at the time that it. I think that Kick was just waiting for. It's just a matter of waiting. It's like playing ping pong. You wait for the other person to make a mistake.
It's still a dice roll though, because Mixer tried this.
Yeah,
but do you think Twitch messed up? Twitch was kind of at the beginning.
I'm just gonna say this. I think Kick has a lot more money than Mixer ever did, even after Microsoft bought them.
Well.
I mean, you're talking about it's owned by a gambling company.
A crypto gambling
company. They have money.
Well, Microsoft is the second or third largest market cap business in the world.
But a gambling company.
They just didn't go all in on
giving them money.
The day before, too. Don't forget, I think it was the day before, they came out and said you can't multi-stream anymore. To YouTube or anything like that.
Yeah, which why did they even come out with the feature, like, which was a few months ago in the first place?
If you stream it on Twitch, and this is including like everybody, like you're stuck with us. You can't go anywhere unless it's like a 15-second TikTok clip or something. There was a whole bunch. Stuff. Another move by Twitch to screw over literally everyone.
But what's funny is, didn't Twitch announce a while ago that, like, hey, you can do that. You can stream wherever you want, including Twitch. Because isn't that why Ninja now streamed everywhere?
Ninja streamed everywhere just to make as much money as he possibly can. But I don't know. But
Twitch allowed it. Now they don't allow it. Yeah, I don't know.
And the relationship that content creators have with Twitch for the last 3, 4, 5 years, it was better 5 years ago. It just continuously, progressively gets worse and worse. And it gets harder and harder for viewers to watch. I mean, it's kind of, there's so many memes on the internet now that people are experiencing what I experienced was, you're watching this stream, something amazing is going to happen. Then you have 10 ads. It says 1 out of 10.
You miss it. You can't go back and watch it.
Yeah.
That's frustrating
part.
It's
so funny that the ads just cover the live show you're watching. And then you're like, oh, I just watched a Asmongold clip where that happened. And he was watching. I actually think it was XQC like moving to. It was something with XQC with his move to kick, and then it popped up, and it was like a built. It was. It's one of the funniest things I've seen. It is so funny.
Show me that one. I've not seen that.
It's hilarious, and which is so funny because it's one, like the whole kick controversy and everything. Anyways, it's fascinating that they threw down that much money to get the number, like to get XQC. That's huge.
Well, who
and
are
a whole? It's just. Oh, also
who kick. Are the because it's XQC and then it's Kai, isn't it? Aren't they the two like biggest? Yeah,
and
streamers?
Then you have Amaranth. You have a bunch. Yeah, of people like moving the, over. Like.
Well, they, no, Kai, the Kai's not moving over, but they were just like the biggest streamers, weren't they? XQC, Kai.
Oh, XQC was by like his. He's by.
I thought Kai shot. Like caught up to him. Maybe though, yeah. It was anyway.
But no, the split also is a 95-5 split.
So yeah, that was their selling point when they first jumped in. Yeah.
A 95-5 split, so it's way more desirable for the content creators to move over to a gambling.
My thing is this though. That's a lot of money
that they'll probably get back in 2 days from all the gambling.
Well, yeah, but what's their? I get that question. I think I know where you're going. How are they going to make the money back?
No,
gambling.
I don't know that a live streaming only service site is the future. I really don't. I think Twitch's time is limited. I think Kick's time is limited. I don't see a future because, and here's the problem is look at the competition. YouTube live streaming is average at best, right? That's being kind.
Yeah.
But YouTube doesn't care.
We just got kicked off for watching an Apple.
A public keynote address.
Yes. But YouTube doesn't care because YouTube has this complete package. So they've got, I can do this on YouTube. Here's what I can do. I can post a video, make a video that's there for forever that will be found. And the YouTube algorithm is discoverable for me. I can create shorts, short form content, similar to like a TikTok, so I can catch onto that craze and Instagram Reels. I can live stream. I can now podcast on there. They have their own podcast thing that they're trying to jump into,
mm-hmm.
And so it's just this complete package. Twitter, Elon Musk under Twitter is doing the same thing, or Twitter under Elon Musk rather is doing the same thing. Instagram is doing all these other. You're competing with social media sites. Facebook is doing this, has all these other options as well. A stream only site, I don't know long term that's the future because you're so limited in, for instance, how do you get big on Spicy? If you were to start streaming today on Twitch, how would you get big?
Yeah,
not on Twitch. Yeah, you get big by growing somewhere else and moving and advertising and your Twitch.
Pushing people to Twitch, yeah.
And I think that's the. I think that's the hard part. I mean, it's rumored. I don't think Twitch makes money for Amazon. Also, when we talk about money as well, I think Amazon is Amazon the number one valued? So it's not like there's a number one. They're the top three companies in the world as far as market cap value. So they Twitch has money too if Amazon chooses to open up their pocketbook rather.
What's funny about this?
But yeah,
is Kix using the AWS servers, so
they can just turn it off. Faucet off at any time.
I don't think they will because they're probably making a lot of money from Kick.
That's true.
And Twitch is losing them a lot of money because Twitch is owned by Amazon. They're not the same thing. So
yeah.
Your dad's up here looking at his two kids, and one of them is making you, he's working, you know, bringing in all this money. The other one's just spending all your dough. So it's actually kind of an interesting relationship.
That is funny.
Kick's making them money,
but
Twitch is losing them money.
But that's, I don't know that live streaming is what it was 5 years ago.
It definitely isn't. David, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think you'll always have a live TV. So you could. I don't think it will go away. I mean, think but of it like it a worth, public access television show.
But is it worth a hundred? Is it worth $100 million for 2 years? The only way it's worth it is if XQC brings over his audience. That's the bank that Kick is making here. What Mixer tried to do with Ninja.
He's at 50K right.
But
now.
What Ninja showed is no, it doesn't work. People just stayed on Twitch.
Well, Ninja was. Let's put Ninja at like the end of his
career.
Not his career but like his power. Like there were a lot of things that caused him to fail outside of him moving to, or to not to fail, but to
lose popularity.
That I would say Mixer kind of helped him lose popularity a little, but there are other variables that caused that.
Clearly was on like Adderall or something and losing his mind. Also, his wife that became his manager that clearly sucked didn't help.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of variables that didn't necessarily help his. He's still streaming, not very often, but and his audience is now he's like a top 500 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's not nearly what I used to see posters of him at Walmart.
Yeah, but regardless, so the difference between like Ninja's audience not coming with him to Mixer was a whole other experience. Kick at least mimics. It looks the exact like when you go to Kick, it's the exact layout. The issue is I think what's so hard about getting an audience over is if I'm a Twitch viewer and I'm watching all these people on Twitch, I'm invested in that ecosystem. You probably have multiple subs, you've got emotes, you understand the culture there. I think it's hard to tear away an audience. You're going to get a portion, no doubt, but is it $100 million worth of portion? Now, what this did do for them is PR, and is the PR worth that $100 million
well, that's going why, forward? That's honestly why I think that it was a strategic timing,
yeah.
Because all they had to do was wait for Twitch to screw up again. They do it every month. And it was like, okay, let's wait for the next one. And now you have a flood of people moving over.
Yeah.
Especially when they hear 95.5 split. You can stream whatever you want. Our terms of services, our TOS is very clear.
Yeah.
It's not ambiguous. Yeah,
I don't know if they really have one.
They do. And it's just pretty not open. Ambiguous. And that's one of the things that upset a lot of content creators is some people would get banned for other things like
some things. Yeah,
yeah, it was not a level TOS system.
Yeah,
there were a lot of favorites, a lot of weird things going on.
But long term, do you think that a streaming only site competes with the everybody else that's jumping in?
Well, here's the thing, David. I think I've told you this before. The only reason these sites are still up is because YouTube doesn't care.
Yeah.
Soon as YouTube decides to lean into it and to actually do it right,
yeah,
it's
game over.
It's Twitch of like users. Twitch is like 3% of the users that YouTube has.
Well, YouTube's the second largest search engine in the world.
And they own the first largest.
The only reason that these others are like they exist is because Daddy doesn't want to just take it from them. Yeah. Soon as YouTube figures, like as soon as they want to,
well, it's going to be interesting. I wonder if Twitter will help put pressure on that because I do think the highest upside. If I'm starting a content creation career today, and I've not done anything from where I'm sitting. I'm all in on two places, YouTube and Twitter. I think Twitter has nothing but upside. I'm definitely not starting on Twitch. I don't.
You'll never be found there.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
It's just too hard.
The only ways, like you said, the only way to grow there is to grow places, which to their TOS, you can't do that anymore.
Well, and the thing is if I'm going to spend all my time growing, if I'm growing a YouTube channel, I'm just going to focus on that YouTube channel. Why bring them over to Twitch? You know what I mean? Like, why not? So the only person that to have grown, it's why I really respect him. What's his face?
Ludwig.
Ludwig. Ludwig, most,
Recently you have Kai too, who grew on
so there's on a Twitch. Few, but most of the big names you know in Twitch grew because they were first in.
Oh yeah.
And they rode the wave. Recent examples of people who have gotten big on streaming and then is like a Ludwig or a Kai, like you say, and then moved over. Like Ludwig now is exclusively on YouTube and YouTube streaming. But even he talks about it all the time. He's like, nope, you don't grow on Twitch. You've got to have, you know, are you
growing a TikTok audience? Even when he was growing on Twitch, he was doing stuff on YouTube and
that's how he grew he grew it a very specific way. So I don't know. I think there's a lot. I'm going to be interested to see what Kick can do, but let's put it this way. Do you have an account on Kick, Spicy?
No.
Have you watched live streams on Kick?
I mean, the only reason I haven't is because I haven't had time.
So. Yeah.
But I have gone. I've gone there to look.
XQC has a YouTube channel, right?
I went to Yes, it's big. I went to XQC's first stream, like his VOD, right? Yeah. So just to see. And what was so funny is his first stream. Oh, this is so funny. His first stream is him trying to figure out the technical stuff. He's like, "Oh shoot!" and then they have like Trainwreck hop on with him to because Trainwreck is like the ambassador for everyone right now.
It's his. Yeah, he owns it. He's one of the owners.
One of the owners, I believe. But it's actually really funny. Like when people move to YouTube, their first stream is like a big deal. It's all orchestrated. It's all like. Yeah. But his is like, it's XQC. And what blows people's mind is the zero. Like it's like a 15-second millisecond latency between chat.
Yeah, I saw YouTube of his reaction to his zero latency chat.
It's pretty cool. It's like it reminds me of the Mixer days when they had
low latency
1 second. This looks even faster than that.
Yeah,
which is crazy. Fitzy
says the only way to grow on Twitch is to be a hot girl and have an accidental wardrobe malfunction for publicity. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. Regardless, I mean, the 100 million in basically why this is 100 million in gaming, in the gaming space. And it shows the power of gaming content creation. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, Kick is investing on momentum.
Yeah.
So, and they've started it. It'll be interesting to see if the waves keep flowing over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that does us for this week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out. And
yay.
Again, if you like what we're doing here, hit that like button. If you're watching us in live chat right now, hit that like button. Next week, we'll have a post show. And then we're moving to membership-only post shows. So for everybody who supports us and is a member, join us on the member-only post show. It's going to be a good time. There may be some nudity. Who knows? We'll see you guys later.